Rooster.com.
And you know what, that window open that I've got, if I let a little bit of fresh air in here, that rooster we got outside may be crowing, and we may hear it. You don't know what's going to go on when you have live radio. I've got ducks and the chickens, and we added one rooster, and the neighbor's rooster, of course, is out there, so we don't know what's going to happen. But I do know what's going to happen right now. We've been waiting all week for it. What is that, about couple of days? No, I've been anticipating this for a long time, and I know this is probably new for these guys, but I'm so happy to have the best father-son duo around next to Buck Owens and Buddy Owens. It's Pete and Sean Williams. How are you guys?
Great, great. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Sean, you want to talk to that mic there just a little bit? Let me get a level on you.
Hello, hello, world.
Okay, I'm gonna bring you up just a little bit, and there we go. Sean is the soft-spoken one, and his dad Pete is the man of a thousand words. Or is it the other way around?
That's the case this morning.
I'm not sure about that. You need a level on me? You're all good?
No, you're good. I think we're good. I can always adjust the levels at another time too. Well, so thanks for coming. I really appreciate y'all taking the time out of y'all's busy schedule to come on in.
Well, thank you, Bruce. And your studio here is really cool. Really
thanks.
Cool. Glad to see it.
Thanks. I've spent a lot of time and money that I didn't have, and got it all ready to go. And it's well worth it. I love doing what I do, and love to be able to highlight local artists, especially that could use a little. I say a little more push, but deserve a little more recognition for what they do. And you guys are top on my list here. And thanks for coming by.
Well, thanks, man.
Lifelong residents, for the most part, for you guys. Pete, you want to start off with a little history on your longevity here?
I actually have been here all my adult life. I got here when I was about 19, and I was going to Southwest, which is now Texas State. But I grew up in Austin, and before that, I was in McCamey, Texas. If anyone ever heard of McCamey, Texas, it's close to San Angelo.
Okay.
So I was born in San Angelo and started my life in McCamey, Texas.
Cool.
All my school years, I was in Austin.
In Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so you've been... I want to say, so how long have you been here, I was going to say, but then people are going to get a calculator out and going, but let's see, he's this...
All my friends swear that I went to New Braunfels High School, so I just go along with that.
Yes, okay, so if you want to check your
yearbooks... I'm a New Braunfels graduate.
...from like 1982 on...
Oh, yeah, 82,
You may find him in there. Sean... a little history on yourself here in town.
Sure, yeah. I actually did go to New Braunfels High School. Graduated in 95. Was born here. Dad, correct me if I'm wrong on any of this.
Okay. So far, so good.
Okay. Was born here and raised here. Lived my whole life here. I did spend a couple of years in Waco as a young child while Dad went to TSTI there.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah.
Thank God we got out of there before my accent went too completely crazy.
Sean had a Waco accent.
Yeah, and then I did live in San Antonio for 2 years working for a company there, and that was I couldn't wait to get back to New Braunfels. I think I will always live here to some degree.
Cool. Very cool indeed. You guys also have full-time businesses here in town.
Yes.
And, sure. You know, I'm not going to point to one or the other. One start, another one go, and say, what you got?
Okay. Well, he did point at me.
He did. So you're the sucker to go first.
Well, I did. I started a business here in 2003, kind of moonlighting outside of a company I was working for doing technology installations. Nothing near as technical as what I'm sitting in front of right now. But we do technology installs for just about anything you can imagine. I tell my customers if it blinks, makes noise, moves, or has zany ideas, whatever the case, we'll try to figure out how to do it. This audio video networking for homes and businesses. And
okay, and the name of the company is?
It's actually kind of confusing. The main name of the company is Texas Home Systems, but we also, which is our residential lane, but we also have a second lane, which is our commercial lane, which is called State Tech Services.
Okay. So you've gone commercial, man.
Yeah, there you go.
That's where the big bucks are. At least that's where we hope, right?
I don't know yet, Bruce.
Yeah. Well, that's everybody's goal. At least at some point, maybe
big bucks.
But you know, a lot like you, you know, you saw a need here in town that wasn't coming from this town, and that's where the commercial side of this came from.
Exactly. And y'all have a nice little office downtown there that you're sharing with some folks, and it really I think it's working out well for you. I see your truck all over town. So I know you're either going to get something to eat or going to see a client. One of the two.
Right. I have a lot of restaurant and bar clients, so it works out
there
well.
There you go. There you go. Pete, how about you, sir?
Well, business-wise, my wife, Georgia, and I started an ad agency in the early 90s. It's called Trimble Williams Advertising.
Right.
We did for local businesses, some banks. We used to do print design and logo design and radio commercials and things like that. Later, now I have a company called Current Creative Group. Mostly I do websites. I'm not always doing new websites, though I'm maintaining people's sites and helping them fix something.
Okay.
So I spend a lot of time doing that.
It obviously keeps you pretty busy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Let's go to I'm going to switch around a little bit back and forth from music to personal. Let's go to music, which is probably one of the big things. That's a lot of the reasons I got you here. I know one has a longer history of music than the other, so we want to take the long story to the short story. Start with Pete. Pete, where'd you start out with your music, man?
Okay, I was in about sixth grade in Austin when the Beatles came out, and I was taking viola lessons.
Okay.
And I had a friend, my best friend named Stan Clark. We all lived in the university area in the old houses down there. Okay. Our parents rented homes. But Beatles came out. My friend Stan got a guitar from his dad, and I was just on fire after that. Stan could figure out songs, and he could figure out chords, and I thought, how do you do that? So I wanted to learn how to do it. So we started playing. I started playing when I was about in sixth grade. I must have been, I don't know what age that makes me, 11 or 12.
Okay, yeah.
And I played as a teenager. I could never get in a band. I had friends that were in bands. My first band was in New Braunfels, actually.
Okay.
I got to New Braunfels. New Braunfels was such a friendly place when I got here, and everyone wanted to meet me. I was a kid from the big city, and they're like, hey, we want you to be in our band. And all this. So that's yeah. how I got started.
Very cool.
And I could play lead guitar about the time, so everyone liked that.
Okay.
They said, hey, there's this guitarist you need to check out named Paul McLaughlin. You need to go see him. He's in a band called the Cofield Brothers at the Crystal Chandelier.
Gosh, the Cofield.
Remember the Cofield Brothers?
Jeez.
So I went there, and back then, this was like, there were long hairs and there were rednecks.
Yeah.
And I went into Crystal Chandelier, and I remember walking through the crowd, and this cowboy was looking at me, and when I came right by him, he pushed me across the room. So I kept walking. I just kept walking. I got up to stage, and I saw Paul McLaughlin playing. He was playing all this jazzy stuff. And
oh,
I was
yeah.
like, wow. Then I thought, I better get out of here, and I found my way back out. My first band was called Razzle.
Okay.
We played rock. We played old, not... Now, Fleetwood Mac used to be a blues band before Rhiannon and all that.
Okay.
We played old Fleetwood Mac. We played ZZ Top.
All right, cool.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We had trouble getting gigs, so we decided to change to a country band.
Mm-hmm.
And we liked country, and I did that for a while. Then we changed back to... during the 70s, went back and forth. I was in a country band sometime, and I was in a rock band.
Okay.
Just to make the story shorter.
That's all right. So when folks, I guess, around here... For me, my beginnings with you were with the Grapes of Wrath, obviously.
Yes.
So how did you manage to get in with that bunch of hoodlums?
Yeah, I know. It was a great thing, actually. It was a great thing. But in the late 70s, I quit all music because I got frustrated. Bands you get your heart broke a lot in the band business.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know? And just when you're getting somewhere, someone quits, and then you're like...
Oh, I know.
So
yeah.
I announced to my wife, Georgia, I'm quitting this. I'm selling. I sold my stuff to my Georgia's little brother, Ted.
Okay.
Ted Trimble. And
yes, yes.
He became quite the rocker himself.
Yes, he did.
He was in some of the first bands that Tommy Thompson and Dennis Peake started.
Ted
was with him.
Right.
But then later I started thinking, I want to get back to music. I want to play solo. I was going to play solo then and learn how to play guitar and sing. I mean, I knew how to play guitar, but sing, be a singer. And Ted was working for Paul at the music store, and he told Georgia once, well, hey, the Grapes are losing their bass player. They're looking for somebody. And I blew that off for a while. It's like, no, I'm going to be a guitar soloist. But one time I was driving home from work. I worked in San Antonio back then. And I thought, I'm going to go by the music store. Where Paul owned the music store back then, Rogers Music. And he came, I asked for Paul. He came out and to shake my hand. And the first thing he says is, "Do you drink?" I thought this was a test question. I don't know the right answer. I'll just give the honest answer. I said, "Yes." He goes, "Good. We're going to go across the street to Lance Station. And we're going to talk about this." So we went across the street that night and we talked and we kept drinking margaritas. And after a while, we decided I was in the band and we just need to audition and see if I could sing harmony. And that's how I got in.
That's awesome.
It was amazing. And Paul just wanted to throw me right in. Just, we're not going to do a lot of rehearsing. Just start playing with us and learn the songs.
Okay.
So it was kind of nerve-wracking there the first few gigs, but that's what we did.
Well, it's been a great story for you ever since. And
yeah.
You've done basically, I'm thinking, solo stuff and duo stuff since that time? Or have you been, were you in any other full?
I was in the Grapes of Wrath for years, probably 15 years.
Okay.
I mean,
it was a while. I mean, it was a great gig. Yeah.
And just great people, like brothers, like a family. We did a lot of stuff. We played at the Coast every year. And we had certain regular gigs we always did.
So I know you keep in contact with Paul. Do you still do with any of the other guys that were in the band? Do you still keep in contact with them all?
Yeah, Paul. It was Paul and David Owens and me and Joe Grist.
Okay.
And before I came in, Guy Holden was the bass player.
Yes.
And his son, Josh Holden, plays around town here.
Yes, he does.
But Guy Holden came back with us sometimes. And I see Guy sometimes around town. I see David Owens. And David Owens has come and sat in with us.
Yeah.
And Paul McLaughlin, of course, comes to our gigs.
Sure.
And sits in with us. And,
yeah.
And I've done gigs with him sometimes. So
very good. Very good. That's I love that history. Sean. Sean.
Hello.
Wake up. I know that was boring, but you wake up.
Huh? No, I was actually thinking about his story and thinking that he probably should have added the Rick Cavender Band after.
I was going to.
Oh, yeah, the Rick Cavender Band. That's right.
We probably need another 2 or 3 hours.
Oh, I know.
I don't want to take up all the time. I was in the Rick Cavender Band.
You have a lot.
I've talked about that later. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, mine obviously is a lot shorter than his, but obviously I grew up around it. You know, the Grapes of Wrath was one of my favorite things to do as a kid, to go, those times that I did get to go out to some of these halls that my dad was playing, or a particular public gig here and there, and especially, he mentioned the Coast, that was a huge thing for our family, to go every year down to the dunes in Port Aransas, which, God help them, they are working on rebuilding that, but that was a big, big deal for our family to go down there and listen to the Grapes of Wrath play down there. So the music was always there for me. I didn't get into it as far as picking up an instrument till I was about 18.
Okay.
I had graduated from high school, and me being me, wasn't doing much else. And I decided to start playing guitar. I was staying in a little garage apartment outside the house, and I tell people that want to play guitar that say, well, you know, what did you do? And my answer always is, you have to get bit by the bug. And find yourself sitting there for 8, 9, 10 hours of a day, doing it just because you want to do it so bad. So that's really where it started. And I was fortunate to be in a situation where, you know, my dad talked about his friend Stan. Well, the relation to that would be my dad. You know, I was able to go out into the house and say, "Dad, here's this." I remember taking an Alice in Chains unplugged CD in there and going,
"Oh yeah,
I can't figure this out. What's he doing?" And my dad, who has this ear, is incredible. He can be doing whatever he's doing with one ear, and with the other ear, say the chords are this, this, and this without picking up the guitar. Okay, so I go back out to the room and try to figure it out. So I was lucky. I had an in-house guitar teacher and you know, professor to work with. So I think because of that, I was able to get to a point at least somewhat quickly where I could go out and suck really bad with some people.
Sure.
That allowed me to do so. And two of those people were my dad and Don Forrest. They had a gig over at Callahan's when they first opened.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my
and
gosh.
We would go out there, and, you know, I was only 19 or 20, but they didn't need to know that. And, and so, yeah, we'll keep that. It was a long time ago. I think there's a statute of limitations on
that. I think there is. You're way past that now.
But they would let me get up there and play, right or wrong. So I kind of right away got thrust into that, okay, this is what it feels like to just jump up and go and do it. From there, I had a great friend, Mel Nolte, here in town. Melvis Nolte, that a lot of people know of, plays bass with Anybody and Everybody. He and I started a couple of bands. Well, he was in a band, and he brought me into that band, and so that was my first experience out, you know, playing in an actual band that actually played to some regularity. From there, he and I started another band. I'm trying to recall. I think it was called 7 Year Reserve, and then we had some really good people in that band, and that was kind of a next step, next level band where we actually practiced and learned songs and actually went out and played some gigs such as Clear Springs Christmas Party and you know, these new professional, quote-unquote, experiences.
Right.
The biggest thing probably for me, I mean, clearly, would be the first time I heard Monty Guitar Tyler play.
Yes.
And so he was playing at the Pear, Prickly Pear here in town, every Wednesday or every day perhaps. But I wasn't even 21 yet. And I have many, many memories of going in there and being tossed out as soon as they figured out I was in there. But it didn't matter. I had to go in there and hear the band. He was playing back then, forgive me, drawing the names, but he played with the Jam Maniacs.
Okay.
Tommy Thompson would be there.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, Jam Maniacs.
Yes.
Some great players that are eluding me. Rusty Carey, Alan Beavers, Larry Beavers, a lot of these great musicians.
Yeah.
And eventually, I started working with Monty, and then he figured out that I did play around with guitar, and I'd been in a few bands, so he really took me under his wing. He said, man, come play with me at the Pear, and the rest was history as far as, you know, playing. That was the longest band tenure I think I had, okay. 17 or 18 years.
And, yes.
You know, he took a guy who shouldn't even have been up there, and... at least got him to a point where he could fake it a little better,
right.
You know, over the years. And we've become lifelong friends, and I think that's a 17 or 18 year deal. And through that, I've been fortunate to play with some just the greatest people around here. Brett Klein. Rusty Carey. Matt Curtis.
Sure.
Mel, obviously.
Right.
So doing that for the longest time, and then just dabbling in little things in and out of that, but that was always the main thing. And then, of course, once Dad finally did get that solo guitar thing going that he spoke of prior to the grapes, I was able to join in with him.
Okay.
And so now that is the main thing I do musically, and it's just enough. Just right.
Yeah, it is so fun to watch you guys. I mean, I see pictures of it all the time, and it is so great to see you guys. Y'all play so well together. We don't go out to eat all that often, but years back, we'd go out there and see you guys over at Wesatch.
Yeah.
Having a great time out there. And
I like those gigs.
A lot of times people will see pictures of you, Sean, and you'll have what do they call it? Signature pick in the mouth.
Yeah. Yep.
So you know, for those that don't understand why you do that, just a brief thing of why that happens.
That's a great question. So I grew up playing acoustic, and I never got comfortable playing with the pick. And it wasn't until I started playing in the electric bands and the blue stuff that I realized the pick was necessary for a lot of the things we want to do, at least that I was trying to do. But I've always retained that love for playing with my fingers.
Okay.
So it's very true. And even in the Monty gigs, I would half the time that pick is in my mouth and half the time it's in the hand. It just depends on what's the song, what are we doing, what am I trying to do.
And one of the pictures that I posted for you guys was from Omas. It was perfect. It's a perfect conversation thing going right there where you got the pick in the mouth. And why does he do that? What is that in his mouth? Well, let me explain to you why he does what he does.
Well, secondarily, there are great guitar players that know how to hold that pick in their hand in such a way that they can move it into their fingers, and I'm certainly not professional.
Well, that's kind of like having a slide guitar and then playing chords all at once.
Oh, yeah.
In the thing. You know, of course, Tommy, the master of the old slide guitar there.
I went to ZZ Top in the early 70s and saw Billy Gibbons did that. He had kept his own one finger, and so I was going to learn that, by golly, but it's hard.
By golly, and this is, I tried it once too, you know, trying to do a little bit of Freebird.
But Sean,
at 41, I don't plan on learning any new pictures.
You know, Sean is a self-taught guitarist, and he, like he plays with fingers. He just learned himself in his own way that you just dreamed up. And he has a very unique style because of that. And he didn't learn until he was 18. When he was younger, I thought, yeah, I'm going to teach my son guitar, but I'm going to. But then I thought, I'm going to wait till he wants to. And he never wanted to.
And you know, hey, guitar, yeah,
I was playing guitar, I was doing all this stuff, and he's like, yeah, cool.
Well, see, you know, here I have four boys, and three of them were in band, high school band. And I was hoping that one would
break out,
you know, have a little bit of his daddy's genes in him, you know. And no, thanks to the gaming world, I've lost them all to the gaming.
The gaming world.
Oh my gosh!
Well, you know, since you mentioned that, I should also mention that one of the big things that happened for me musically was a 13-year tenure with the First Protestant Church, playing in a band again with some great players. Brett Klein again. Your lead guitar player.
Oh, Matt.
Matt Fonsteel. And of course, the famous Bruce Shorts.
Yeah, I had a little stint there for a while. It was a great family, a great group of people to be with.
You were in a church choir that I was in. Can I bring that up? Can I tell you?
Yes.
The St. Peter and Paul Youth Folk Choir that I used to play in.
Yes.
We got this bass player once named Bruce Shorts.
Yes.
I think we had some young guys in the choir. One was named Jay Fonsteel. I think so.
Oh, my gosh.
I think Matt Fonsteel was a little guy in there, too.
Yeah, you know, we played one of our first gigs on the front steps of St. Peter and Paul.
Oh, yeah?
And I don't mean the side building, you know. I mean the front, as you're walking up, before they redid it, I think. You know, the old concrete steps going up, and had all these little crappy mics and amps sitting up there, and I don't remember who's playing drums for us. Maybe Chuck Kirchhoff was at the time.
Oh yeah.
But when you're young like that, you play well, you think you're the next best.
You're
thing
just
to
about
slice
to break
bread,
out,
man.
Yeah,
we're gonna make it.
Yeah, and y'all did. Y'all broke out big locally, man.
It was all around here. It was fun. You know, the 80s and 90s were good, you know, and now we finally get to put out, you know, the same avenues back then aren't the same as they are now, you know.
Right.
Now everybody, you know, there's so much, you know, YouTube and Facebook and putting out CDs, iTunes and things like that. It's just, there weren't that many things back then. So we all do the best we can with what we have. So, hey, for those of you all listening or just tuning in, we are listening to, as I say, Intelligent Conversation with Sean Williams and Pete Williams. Sean.
Sir.
The secrets to making great barbecue.
Oh, my God.
Great. Sean's a griller. He's a griller.
He's a griller.
You know, it's either, you know, he's playing somewhere or he's cooking something on a grill. What's the secret to a good steak or a good brisket?
Okay, well, I can't answer the brisket question. That would have to be somebody else. But I think the first secret is just to love it. If you just love it and you're into it and you're thinking about, you know, what, no matter what your taste is or your style, if you're just really into it and you're paying attention, I'll say that, you know, if I go to somebody's house and I can tell if they're a grill lover or if they're not, you know, if they're going to make something on the grill and they're just kind of haphazardly working with it and tossing it around, they throw it on the grill, then they forget it's on the grill and take it off. It's a different product than if you just, you know what you like, you know the temperatures you're shooting for, and you just pay real close attention to what you're doing.
Okay.
I think it's the best I can say. I mean, everyone has a different taste and style.
But to start, Sean's a great selector of steaks. Go select the meat very carefully.
Very, very good, yeah. You know, in town, you have a few places you can go select meats. And for me, I keep an open mind about what I'm going to cook that day.
Right.
I go look and see what cuts look the best, and so I'd say it starts with your purchase.
Okay.
And then secondarily, just do what you like and get into it and love it.
There we go. Great answer. Public service announcement from Grilling by Sean Williams. we're going to have some, you're all going to play a couple of live tunes for us here in a few minutes. But since I got you in the studio, I wanted to ask some questions and do what they call an interview. Not placing an order at a fast food restaurant that takes about 2 minutes. Okay, I wanted to really get you guys in here and talk to you a little bit about it. Let's do a fast five with Bruce Allen. I mentioned it to you earlier. I'm gonna throw five things out there to you, and whatever comes off the top of your head, you're just gonna tell me what your favorite is, okay? And I think I know the answer to the first one, but
are you doing this one at a time to Sean or to me, or
you can both.
Okay,
you can both go.
Okay,
because we'll hear both answers.
Gotcha.
Steak or seafood?
Steak.
Steak.
Okay. And how do you like your steaks, by the way?
Medium rare.
Medium rare?
Same here, medium rare.
Okay, good. Your favorite movie?
Airplane.
Of course.
By a long shot.
Oh, my gosh. I picked a hell of a day to quit sniffing glue.
I knew I wouldn't
like it. That's a heck of a day to quit.
All right, I can't remember the last movie I saw. That's a terrible answer, I know.
I'm a slow five.
And that's right. This is like not like a slow gin fizz here. It's so nothing comes to mind?
Nothing comes to mind, sorry.
Okay, so let's say maybe Star Trek, original series?
Sure, Star Trek was great.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
Thanks, Bruce.
Favorite beer?
IPA. Can I be general?
Sure, yeah.
Yes. I am liking, Hop Daddy? Is that what it is right now?
Hop Daddy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are those more of a craft beer?
Yeah. But I don't, that's an IPA. I don't have too much IPA. When I'm not drinking IPA, I drink a Negro Modelo.
Okay.
Which I thought was cool, but someone told me once, that's an old man beer. I'm like, well, you know.
Hey, at least you know what you want. I had the story here real quick just a while back. We did a little acoustic show over at the Poorhouse, and I had never been there before. Not the Poorhouse, I'm sorry, Faust Brewery.
Oh, yeah.
And so we went inside to grab a drink, and kind of looked around. I said, what do you have? I said, Dos Equis sounds pretty good. And it's kind of like... it's kind of like a... you kind of get everybody looking at you, and you kind of like you feel about two inches tall. But I learned my lesson, and that's where I learned to like the Alex Meixner Pilsner.
I like that too. I like the fella, and I like the Guadalupe Brewery here, the local. Speaking of local brews,
very cool. Okay, straight from my fast five. Let's go back here, and I probably know the answer to this one too. Favorite vacation spot?
Port Aransas.
Same here.
Okay. Last but not least. Your favorite cartoon character?
Oh, my Lord. Ariel. She's cute.
That's a good one.
Oh, that was a good one.
I'm going to say Yogi Bear.
Yogi Bear?
I grew up on Yogi Bear.
Good. Yogi Bear and Ariel. Two different ends of the spectrum here.
At least we're different.
And, hey, the windows are open. You hear those beautiful birds going out there?
Very nice.
And probably being an aerial fan, you probably relate more to those little Tweety birds out there.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, a few more questions before we hit some live music here. Pete, if you could go back in time and do a duet with a singer from the past, who would it be and what song would you do?
Glenn Frey. Take It Easy. I'd like to do Take It Easy with Glenn Frey.
Oh, that would be that would be good.
Yeah.
That would be good.
I remember when that came out, man. That blew our minds when it came out.
Yeah, that was good. Very good indeed. And Sean, for you, you don't get the same question because you don't have that.
No, I couldn't answer it.
Not that far enough ahead. Okay. If someone was going to make you a guitar free of charge, what kind of guitar would it be, and who would you get it from?
I would want it to come from Collins Guitars in Austin, and I'd want it to be an OM body style.
Okay. And I'm thinking it's electric or acoustic? Sorry.
It's an acoustic guitar, but it's a smaller-bodied acoustic. Don Forrest has one. So if he wants to give me his, that'll save us some time.
Yeah. That'd be
there you go.
It'd be really nice if Don did that.
That would be good.
We all agree.
Okay, I think what we're going to do now is we're going to let me get rid of this here, and we're going to go ahead and let you guys play live. Okay. But while we get everything set up, we're going to play one tune while we're doing all that. And I decided today, I don't know if Monty is listening today or not. He may be, but I'm going to go ahead and play a Monte Guitar Tyler song. This is one he had, and I don't know if you played on any of it, Sean. It's a song called No Conspiracy.
I don't believe that one. I think he did that one in the studio.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to play that one right now while we get set up for our Facebook Live. We'll be right back. Monty, I hope you were listening this morning. I could not get on Facebook to do any taggings or anything today. Womp, womp, wah. So it's Bruce Allen with you here at Texas46Radio.com. And I have the pleasure of having Sean and Pete Williams in the studio today doing one of the things that they do best, and that is music. So what are you guys going to play live for us this morning?
We're going to do $5 Bill.
That sounds good.
I wrote this song when I was really broke one time.
Okay. Fire away, man. You ready to go?
I wish I had a $5 bill. I could buy some cheap red wine. I know it wouldn't change anything if my mammy felt all right tonight. I wish I could turn back time to the life that I used to know. Friends say it don't make no difference. Easy come, easy go. I could hear you sing soft and low like you used to do, laying there so sweet beside me, making love like we used to. I wish I had my old white truck. I would drive it to San Angelo, heading down that Texas highway like my granddad used to. I had a $5 bill. I could buy some cheap red wine. I know it wouldn't change anything. It might make me feel all right tonight.
That was sweet, my friends. Sweet.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
Monty Tyler says, hey, guys.
Oh,
hey. Hey, Monty.
Good morning, Monty.
There you go.
Monty's
and that was
actually recording with some folks today.
Is he really?
Yeah, he sure is.
There he is. Okay, that sounds good. Looking forward to hearing some of that. Is it for Monty, or is he playing with somebody?
Well, a guy named Kevin Lee here in town. He and Monty are working on some tunes.
Nice. Always, Monty, you know, always nice to have your stuff here. And I was glad I was able to sneak your tune in for today. What's song number two here, guys?
This song is called River Road. Sean's going to do some lead on it.
Okay.
Here we go.
Maybe.
2, 3, 4. I remember long ago, I was young, time moved slow. 19 and I worked at a factory. Had some friends with a beat-up car. We never had to drive too far. Down River Road, there was so much we could see. Pretty girls out in the sun, water splash, having fun. By the bluffs where the Guadalupe flows. Windows down, you could hear the breeze. Beneath the shady cypress tree, driving down a winding river road. Go, Sean. Thank you.
street. Yeah, them old farmers and ranchers go cruising down a river road. I had the usual young boy's dream, breaking rules, we float downstream. Now it's funny just how fast the time can go. Windows down, you can feel the breeze. Neath the shade of cypress tree, driving down a winding river road. Driving down a winding river road.
Nice audience.
That, I know. And you know what? What really sucks is I got to pay all those folks before they leave, too.
We had to pay them. That's good.
It's all out of my pocket. So I appreciate their applause. Awesome job, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bruce. And thanks for doing this.
I enjoy it. And if I can't get folks like you to support folks like you and have a chance to get to talk with you guys, it's not worth doing.
Really appreciate it.
So, where are you guys playing here coming up?
Actually, we just picked up a last minute gig tomorrow night at Vino and Verde in Green.
So we got Facebook Live still going here, so yeah. People can still catch that.
Yeah. We're playing at Vino next month too, sometime, but I don't know the date.
Yeah, we'll play. We've been doing Vino as a house gig recently, once a month, but we'll be there tomorrow night at 8:30. We're going to fill in for Brett Klein, who couldn't make it, so we're excited to go do that. And hope we'll have a good little crowd.
That sounds good. Hey, man, we've been listening to great tunes and great music history from Sean and Pete Williams here from New Braunfels, Texas. Thank you guys again so much for coming in to the studio. And now I can say that I've had you guys in here. Of course, I'll have to get a picture after we're all done and something for the walls of fame, if y'all don't mind posing after we're all done. The walls of fame.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
All right, man. Y'all guys take care. And go out and see Sean and Pete at Vino and Green, right?
Vino and Verde.
Vino and Verde.
Same thing.
So, all right, we're going to go hit a little bit of music here. We'll be right back. Don't you go away.